everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are delighted to share all the details of our recent trip to the Lake Placid region in the Adirondack Mountains. The stunning fall foliage created the perfect backdrop for experiencing outdoor adventure and a bit of Olympic history.
Plus, we were lucky enough to interview two of the most charming campground managers of all time, Chip and Julie Grunden, who will tell you all about the Lake Placid Whiteface Mountain KOA in Wilmington, New York. And we walked away with Julie's amazing recipe for Michigan sauce.
Bonus!
Big bonus. But what the heck is that? You'll have to listen to find out.
You may be counting down the days until camping season comes to an end, but we here at RVFTA are seriously considering heading back to Lake Placid for a winter RV adventure. You are listening to episode number 57, Greetings from Lake Placid, New York.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, greetings from Lake Placid, New York, we have, as always, our RVFTA news roundup. Can you round it up for us, please?
Right at the top of the list, okay? Rally coming up right around the corner, a couple weeks away, October 23rd, 24th, at the Westchester Philadelphia KOA.
AKA the Philadelphia Westchester KOA. You always do that with this campground.
I do. I always reverse it. I don't know why. All right. So we're going to be there during a Halloween weekend. All the kids are going to be trick-or-treating. We're also going to be celebrating our first birthday as a podcast. Lots of prizes.
Lots of great swag and giveaways. And if, as an adult, you want to bring a Halloween costume and wear a Halloween costume, we won't laugh at you.
Now, I've been a teacher, you know, for what, 15 years now. I have to dress up on Halloween every year.
She does.
I'm not particularly one of those people that loves to do it, but I do it, and I'll probably do it again.
Yeah. Now, the campground is sold out of cabins. They're sold out of full hookup sites. They do still have some water and electric sites near where we are going to be rallying. Okay, so we would love to see you there. It's not too late to jump on board. Okay, we also have a new article up on the Progressive blog. It's called Fall Fun at the Campground. Mm-hmm. And we kind of get into all the great reasons why you should camp in the fall in terms of Halloween activities.
Not just
Halloween activities, and fall festivals, harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what else do we have out there in the article world?
Then there's a top five reasons to camp with Jellystone this fall that is on the Jellystone blog. And though that article specifically focuses on the things that Jellystone does that are so fun and fabulous. Of course, you know, Jellystone's just do a wonderful job at appealing to the kids' stuff, and it is no exception during the holiday, you know, Halloween season. So
absolutely. Also, we got a lot of feedback on last week's podcast, the interview with Jen, the co-founder of Outdoorsy. Mm-hmm. What were some of the responses? Because people, I mean, first of all, there was a lot of downloads on the podcast, mm-hmm. and people downloaded it pretty quickly. It's a high interest topic.
It was, and we thought that was definitely why we threw it out there. We've heard a lot of buzz about this. There was interest on our end. Like, we always know that when we're interested in something, you know, it's like, wow, this isn't just educational for our listeners. This is educational for us.
Well, the peer-to-peer RV rental thing is just one of those things that makes you go,
Okay, so I picked three sort of representative comments that appeared on social media,
right,
or the comments towards us. And Danielle said, love the podcast. It gives me ideas to let the Class A pay for itself, although I am a little scared about someone ruining it. But the insurance plan makes it worth it. There will be lots of discussions in my household.
And Danielle just kind of summed up the whole thing,
exactly,
right? The whole psychological drama of renting your RV, right? Mm-hmm. I can make money, but a stranger's in my RV, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that whole process.
And that is representative of a few comments that we got that were in that direction. And also, it seemed like there was more comments leaning towards the you know, this is really tempting side.
There was a bunch of comments like, I'm going to be talking about this. There's going to be like meetings in the households about whether to do this.
Of course. Now, Angela, she's representative of the great big swath of listeners that we have that actually do not own RVs yet, right?
I've never thought of them as a swath.
They're a swath. And they're out there and they're listening and they're making decisions about future RV purchases, like the pressure.
They are.
Wow. So Angela is one of these people. We've talked about her before because she's younger, right? She's in that millennial.
She's one of those millennials.
Category. And she came to our rally and she camped in her tent and we love her for that. She's also going to Janine Pettit's Camp Like a Girl weekend.
And Angela's done Route 66.
Yeah.
And she's done the Lincoln Highway.
Yeah.
Which
she's
makes
a
her
great
pretty
traveler
awesome.
And she's interested in this, but she's doing her research. So she said, you guys totally read my mind on this last podcast. I'm dying to rent a travel trailer and get a feel for towing and camping in one before buying. But most places don't rent the smaller size guys or are really expensive. So thanks for this. You guys are the best. Thanks, Angela.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It. But seriously, I think that she is that comment shows that there is more demand for these trailer rentals.
Oh, and Jen said that in the interview.
Then there is
the issue
supply.
Is getting people to rent.
Exactly.
The people,
because the next comment from Jason, could never do it. It's my bed and my bathroom. That's why we bought, so we don't have to share those places with others in hotel rooms or rental cabins. Right. So you have your Angelas out there that are like, this is perfect. I don't want to rent a Class C to see if I like the RV lifestyle.
I want a little teardrop.
I want to rent a little trailer like I would pull. And then there's people like Jason out there with his RV in his driveway saying, you ain't renting mine.
So there are two types of people in the world. You have your Angelas and you have your Jasons.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, Danielle shows people are like, okay, well, let it pay for itself. I don't think anybody is out there thinking they're going to rent out their RV as like a charity organization. But,
no, Danielle says she's going to talk about this. So the real question is, Danielle, are you an Angela or are you a Jason?
Mm-hmm.
So can you let us know?
Yeah, we want to know. If you end up doing it, great.
Please let us know.
So we also got some other iTunes reviews over the past
week. Always like unwrapping little presents at
Christmas. And we want to say thank you again. We appreciate it. And if any of you are listeners and you enjoy our podcast, like you enjoyed enough to give us 5 stars, could you head on over to the iTunes store and you just hit the ratings or reviews and you leave us a little note. And we really appreciate that. It helps us a lot with, you know, getting a sort of more visible in the iTunes store. So one of the reviews said, great podcast. And it said, I am so glad to have found this podcast. My family recently just bought a pop-up camper, and listening to RVFTA makes me want to go camping to all of the places they have talked about. They have great ideas on traveling with family, are an inspiration for my family. Keep up the wonderful show. Well, that just about sums it all up to me. That is awesome to hear, first of all, that you're first-time buyers, you're in a pop-up, which is exactly where we started, and you love our travel stuff. We love doing our travel stuff, so it's always nice to hear that.
And one of the most rewarding things is when people say, oh, we went to this campground. Yeah. Thank you for recommending it. We had a great weekend. You
it's
know, like we're recommending things that are allowing people to kind of go out and have fun with their RVs. So
and
thank
then
you
we
for
also
that.
Have one that was called Excellent Information and Entertaining Too. Phew. We are a travel loving family and have been looking into buying an RV for years. We have yet to pull the trigger, but your podcast and experiences are helping us to make a plan and figure out what we want to do. Thanks and keep up the great work. Okay, so we love those emails that we get sometimes from our listeners that say, we were listening to you for the last year, we were listening to you for the last 6 months, and we finally did it. We finally bought our camper.
Yeah, so if you wrote that review, when you do pull the trigger, because you're going to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Like, you might
keep
not
listening.
You might not know you're going to pull the trigger, but guess what? I know you're going to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Let us know, okay? It's always exciting to hear that somebody makes that
first purchase.
And
tell us, oh, we're the ones
purchase.
That wrote that review, because, you know, these names, the iTunes review names, we don't connect
always
with
crazy.
The email names. So do that for us and we'll share it. So
now, is that all the news you got to round up?
Well, no. Oh, one more thing. The Toastite tidbit giveaway is still going on over at the blog. Another week go over there and enter in your email address to join the Toastite Tidbit giveaway.
Yeah, Toastites make people happy.
They do. And when I posted a reminder about the contest, we had a comment from our correspondent, Carrie Cox, who said they were just that night making apple pies and raisin bread in their Toastite.
That kind of upset me because I just wanted one so badly.
Upset you?
Well, I'm just saying, like, if they go, oh, wow, that's so sweet, Carrie, you're using your Toastite. Meanwhile, yeah. I'm thinking, well, you didn't make me one.
Yeah, we were posting on Facebook instead of having a nice toasty fire. So maybe we should rethink our priorities next time.
Absolutely.
Make apple pies. All right.
We will be back in a second with this week's feature topic, greetings from Lake Placid, New York, and it's going to be a good one. This week's feature topic is greetings from Lake Placid, New York. And boy, oh boy, did we have an awesome trip to Lake Placid last week.
Yeah,
we did. And it, honestly, we have to say, it rained for a day and a half to 2 days, mm-hmm. and we still had an awesome trip.
Yeah.
And I am really, really scheming to get us back there this summer. Mm-hmm. I just really fell in love with that region all over again and just realized there's so much more to explore.
Oh, it is, because it's a huge region, right?
And that leads me into a little something new we're going to do tonight. We haven't done a full episode travel guide or adventure guide in a while, and we love doing them, right?
Yes.
So it's been a while since we focused a whole episode on one region. Mm-hmm. So to get everyone in the mood, we wanted to do 8 interesting facts about the Adirondacks region.
And one of the goals behind this, I think, is to heighten awareness of this truly beautiful, huge area of unspoiled natural landscape. Or I shouldn't say unspoiled, because there's buildings
and everything. We're going to talk about that. Don't give away my first interesting fact.
All right, I won't. But here's the thing. It's not a national park, right?
It's not fully a state park.
Right. It's the size and scope, really, of a lot of our lands that are set apart in this country, but it isn't.
Oh, it's bigger than a lot of them.
Right.
And we don't think of the East as having these mm-hmm. great parks, but we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I really felt like this time, you know, we were looking at that. We were saying, you know, if this had the name of a national park, if this had sort of some of those, you know, titles.
It would elevate its fame, I think.
It may be a little more visible to people.
I frankly think the Adirondacks are underrated in the grand right. scheme of great places in our country.
That was our
takeaway. And
we're
going to correct that
mm-hmm. yes.
tonight.
So, 8 facts.
8 interesting facts. And I have to say, I want to give everyone a little insider scoop here. One of the reasons I wanted to do this is that we did this in the Idiot's Guide. Mm-hmm. So for each of the 40 great RV destinations in the Idiot's Guide, we gave 3 sort of interesting trivia history type facts. And I really loved researching those and adding them into the book.
Available for pre-order.
Available for pre-order. On Amazon.com
and
BarnesandNoble.com and other fine online retailers, you can purchase it now.
Yeah.
You'll forget that you bought mm-hmm. it, and then on May 3rd, it'll show up in your mailbox.
Yeah, but in the meantime, we're going to give you some scoops.
So, interesting fact number one. The Adirondacks is made up of over 6 million acres of land. 2.6 million acres are owned by the state of New York and have been designated as forever wild, meaning that you can't build on mm-hmm. them or do anything on them, at least without not very specific permission. And then 3.4 million acres of the Adirondack Park are privately owned.
Yeah.
So when you think about the Adirondacks, it is this very unique combination of public and private land. There's something like over 100 towns and villages mm-hmm. in the Adirondack Park.
And they're adorable, right?
Like
it's all of those quintessentially adorable villages.
Think Lake Placid, think Saranac Lake, Wilmington, to name a few.
Lake George.
Okay? So I just found that combination interesting of mm-hmm. public and private land. Okay. Interesting fact number 2 about the Adirondack Park. Just to, again, give you a sense of its size, all of these national parks together could fit inside the Adirondack Park. Mm-hmm. You could fit Glacier, Yosemite, Great Smoky Mountains, Yellowstone, and Grand Canyon National Parks into the Adirondack Park.
Stop.
No, I'm not going to stop. It is freaking huge, okay? And I'm sorry I said that word.
Yeah, I hate that word.
She hates that word, okay? You say it sometimes.
Every once in a while.
Okay. So now that you understand just how big the park is, now you got to understand how many lovely water features there are in the park. So there are over 3,000 lakes and ponds.
Yeah.
And there are over 30,000 miles of rivers and streams. That was all interesting fact number three. I could have made that two interesting
facts.
But
you didn't.
But I'm not shortchanging anyone.
Right. So, the water features. That is something that I think regularly surprises many visitors to this region. In fact, I was supposed to do fly fishing lessons. We ended up having to skedaddle
Early. Well, because of the potential hurricane
back at our house. So we had to make sure we got back and batten down the hatches at home. So I had a fly fishing lesson that I had to miss, which was a real bummer.
We need to go back.
I know. So, but that was the thing, is there were so many opportunities for, you know, fly fishing. Well, you don't picture that, right? You don't think, I'm going to the Adirondack Mountains, I'm going to fly fish. But it is like that. It's kayaking, it's canoeing, it's gorgeous.
And one of the things that I loved was that the drives from one place to the other were all beautiful. And it seems like every road and highway, it's like, oh, there's the river again.
Yeah.
There's the Au-Sable River again, or there's that river, or there's that stream, or there's that lake. You're constantly bumping into water and driving in and around and over water.
Yeah, and we like that. We always like the scenic drives.
It almost reminded me of our honeymoon in Ireland, dear.
Really?
Yeah, because when we were in Ireland, one of my favorite parts of the whole trip was driving.
Because we drove all over the country.
We did a huge loop,
yeah.
But I was excited every day to get in the car and drive. Like, what are we going to see?
Right, as long as you stayed on the right side of the road.
And I did. I did a good job driving around. But I was just constantly amazed at how pretty the driving was. Okay? So, interesting fact number four. The Adirondack chair was invented by Thomas Lee while visiting a house on Lake Champlain.
Yeah.
They still seem to be popular.
Like, yeah, they've taken off, I think. Okay, so he was visiting his friend. And, you know, his friend had this beautiful lake view, this beautiful mountain view. And so the story goes, he wanted to watch the sunset with a drink.
Let me invent the perfect chair to sit here with a drink.
With a drink. Because the Adirondack chairs, you know how they have the wide armrests?
For drinks.
Yes. It's so that you could sit comfortably and rest your cocktail.
I didn't know that.
You
must have researched this one for the Idiot's Guide.
I did. And, you know, it's one of those stories. Who knows if it's true? But I like it.
I think it sounds very true.
Yeah. Okay. But
yeah, absolutely. And the Adirondack chairs are all over the place in the Adirondacks.
Of course, and they're comfortable. We sat on some outside the library. We'll talk more about the library.
We'll talk more about the library. Okay. Interesting fact number five. The Adirondack 46ers Club is open to anyone who has climbed all 46 mountain peaks in the Adirondack Park that are over 4,000 feet.
Yeah.
So we have officially knocked down zero of those. We climbed Mount Joe, which we'll talk about Mount Joe, and I checked the elevation just before we recorded.
It was sad.
Well, it was like 2,700 feet.
Yeah.
I think if you have young kids, they might let you just do like 20 of them.
And still get your punch card.
I'm making that up.
Well, you know, we'll say. Maybe someday. All right, next.
Well, actually, you told me that you have no interest in doing all 46 of those.
No, because I'm not one of those people that likes to do a million things just to say I did it. I don't care about the trophy on the wall. I don't care about the certificate. Yeah.
Okay.
Next fact.
Interesting fact number six. Lake Placid is one of only three places in the world to have hosted the Winter Olympics twice in 1932 and 1980. And of course, the famous Miracle on Ice happened in 1980. We'll talk about that again in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You just have for me there?
You've been
throwing in all these don't you have any little extra tidbits?
I think that because it hosted it twice, that really does lend to the epic history that they can present to you. Even though it does focus mostly on some of the, like the Miracle on Ice, the hockey, I do think that the town, for the second time around, I feel like they had like a foundation to build on, and they really captured that in all of their memorabilia in the museum. So I do think it's played a
part. There's almost an Olympic
part.
Mythology mm-hmm. there. Yes. I mean, it feels deeply ingrained in the culture and texture of Lake Placid and the area around it.
It does. And that area, I think I read somewhere, and this may be a little bit of a wrong stat, but I know it's rooted in some sort of truth. There is something like more Winter Olympians come from that one region than any other single region in the world.
I think that like 50% mm-hmm. of the children born in the Lake Placid region have been
right.
in the Olympics.
Because you're like, you grow up thinking, okay, I could go to the Olympics.
Right.
Like,
and there's a giant hill.
And there's a ski jump I could practice on.
And when you're
on.
Born in that area, they give you skis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting fact number 7. And this is a little sketchy. And I honestly, I could have done a little more verification on this. I did a little Googling. I didn't do a lot of Googling on this one, okay? The term vacation is said to have originated in the Adirondacks.
That sounds apocryphal.
Because she just said apocryphal.
I'm a classics major.
She was a classics major. She is a classics major. Our listeners probably don't know that about you.
No, they
still has her Greek primers lying around the house. You call them primers or primers?
Primers. I should sell them.
Primers. I think you did sell some of them. So the idea was that wealthy citizens of New York City would vacate the city and go to the Adirondacks, and that it eventually became vacation.
You know, though, I am suspicious of that, though, because I feel like somewhere in my head I've heard that same story about Philadelphia. I kind of feel like I've heard that story before.
And it sounds just like New Yorkers to rip off people from Philadelphia and take their word.
Right, and then Philadelphia.
And I can say that without anyone getting mad at me because we're from Jersey. Yeah. We live close to New York City, but we lived in mm-hmm. Philadelphia for 2 years, mm-hmm. okay? Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, and it would be something that would get people from Philadelphia really ticked off.
Yeah, let them have the cheesesteak. We get the word vacation.
Yeah, all right.
Interesting fact number 8. And this is my favorite one and the last one. Theodore Roosevelt was vacationing when he was vice president, mm-hmm. was vacationing in the Adirondacks when he received word that President McKinley was dying. And he was actually hiking on Mount Marcy with his family, which is the highest mm-hmm. peak.
Well, we saw Mount Marcy. We didn't go.
We did not hike it as Theodore Roosevelt did. Mm-hmm. And someone rushed a telegram up the mountain to get to him to let him know that McKinley was dying. And then he started a very rapid journey to get sworn in.
Oh, okay.
So, and then he was still in the Adirondack Park when McKinley died. Oh. So in a certain sense of the word, he became president in the Adirondacks.
Yeah, I think, I mean, technically he did, because right away they swear, I mean, I don't know if they did it back then, but now right away, wherever you are, you get sworn in.
I think they swore him in later in Buffalo, mm-hmm. and there's some history buff out there who's, I'm pushing this one too far beyond my Googling that I did. And someone out there is like, no, it didn't happen that way.
Okay.
If you know where he was sworn in, write in and let us know. I think it was in Buffalo later.
Yeah, because we both actually really love history of Theodore Roosevelt. So if you have any facts for us beyond the Google, you can send them out.
All right, we're going to come back in a second, and we're going to dive into the attractions and all the great things mm-hmm. we did in the area. And we're going to have a really fun interview with Chip and Julie Grunden, the general managers of the Lake Placid Whiteface Mountain KOA. And they're just adorable people, and they give a great interview and really talk a lot about the area. So we'll be back in a second. We are back with more of our featured topic, greetings from Lake Placid, New York. And we wanted to take a second to disclose that this trip was sponsored by Campgrounds of America, by our friends over at KOA. Mm-hmm. And we just always like to let our listeners know when we're receiving a sponsored trip, okay? And our opinions are always our own.
You can't pay for this kind of opinion.
You can't buy our opinions for a free trip. Okay?
All right.
All right. So let's talk about the things we did while we were in Lake Placid. And really, one of the big takeaways takeaways was the incredible value of the Olympic Pass. So can you break that down for our listeners a little bit, how much it costs and the things that we did and the things we didn't do?
Yeah, I think that it can be a little tricky to research before you're getting there. So here's the thing. There is the Olympic Museum, which is where the Olympic rink and the hockey.
Right.
So all of that is in one large arena. Okay. Now, I think some visitors have a tricky time understanding and getting acclimated to the fact that then many of the other attractions involved in the Olympic Pass that you can buy are spread throughout the region. Okay. Not far away, but up to a half hour away.
Because right, all the events took place in different areas.
So the only thing that is downtown in that Lake Placid area is the museum, which is nice, and but it's small and it has memorabilia, but you can also watch the hockey
game.
They
play the hockey game, the Miracle on Ice game, on a loop.
The last six minutes, I think.
No. They play the whole game, I think. We watched the last 6 minutes.
Okay.
Then it started over.
All right.
Okay. Someone out there may know and can correct us.
Stephanie's
doubting. She's totally doubting me. I think they play the game on a loop.
Okay.
They start the game over. Okay. But we caught the last 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And just, I wanted to throw into, we did an article this week on our own website, rvfamilytravelatlas.com, and there's photos of all of these different things that we did, of these Olympic attractions, et cetera, et cetera. So please check out that article to see the photos.
Right. They'll go along with what we're talking about.
Right.
So then you can also see the actual hockey rink that the game took place on. But besides that, you have to leave town to see a lot of the other things that are included in the Olympic Pass. So you can pay individually for each attraction. And if you do that, or if you're only going to go to the museum, you know, that's fine if you're only going to go to the museum. But if you paid individually, the prices would really add up. You can do the math on the website. But I really think that the Olympic Pass offers a great value.
$35 per adult?
Yes. So the Olympic Pass is $35 per adult. And this is what I really like. If the kids are under six, they're free. And I think that's a generous age. I always like that. You know, that age a little bit higher to not have to pay for your kids. So what is included in the Olympic Pass? You get the museum, you get access to the hockey rink, all that kind of stuff. And it's like a self-guided tour in that arena. Then you also get the ski jump area. You get to go out to the ski jump.
Which was Max and Theo's favorite thing from the whole trip, and maybe my favorite thing.
You ride the chairlift, and you know, our boys are not seasoned skiers, so they've never been on a ski chairlift before.
So that was
really fun for them. You actually ride the chairlift up, then you get into a elevator and you go to the top of the ski jump and you are right there. You get to walk out the doors and stand there at the top of the ski jump. It's awesome.
And I love the pictures that you took a few pictures and I took a few pictures that give you a sense of the sheer danger of going down that ski jump.
I'm not doing it.
I mean, I've always been in awe of our Olympic athletes for their skill. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in awe also for how brave they are, I think.
And the beautiful views of the mountains from up
stunning.
There. Stunning, astonishing, et cetera,
the views, you see, these views are terrific on the ride up.
Yep.
And then they're terrific at the top of the jump.
Now, also over to the side right there, there's a pool with the little ski jumps that they do in the summer months. They do demonstrations, right? Like expos. So they'll actually have the ski jumpers going down and doing flips and landing in the pool with their skis and everything.
Potential Olympic athletes also do train there, even in the summer, on an artificial turf kind of thing.
We didn't get to see that because we were there a little bit late, but oftentimes they'll train in the morning there, and you can call ahead and see if that's going to be happening if you want to do that. So then also included is the gondola ride up Whiteface Mountain, which is that's towards the KOA. That's right around the corner from the KOA.
The Whiteface Mountain, you can see Whiteface Mountain from the KOA.
Right.
And it's just a couple miles or less than two miles.
It's
really incredibly close.
So you can take the gondola ride up to that with the Olympic Pass. You also get the drive up the Veterans.
It's the Whiteface Veterans Memorial Highway, which is, you can't drive up there for free. I mean, there's a gate and you have to pay a ticket price.
Road.
And it's so stunning. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's logical that it's like you have to pay for it. Yeah, you know, it's a major event driving up mm-hmm. there, I guess. It's kind of like driving up Mount Washington.
Yeah, and you want to pull off on the different pull-offs to see the views. You get to see Lake Placid from there. You see Mount Marcy from up there. Then all the way up at the top, they have this like castle that you can go up inside. There's like the gift shop, the restaurant. But then there's also a tunnel that goes and takes you on an elevator ride up to the very tippity top of Whiteface Mountain.
Right.
It's a really...
The boys finagled hot chocolate.
Of course
because it was chilly up there. There was ice on the side of the mountain.
Oh, it was freezing.
But the views are amazing. We and you look mm-hmm. down and you see Lake Placid. Mm-hmm. The actual lake, mm-hmm. Lake Placid. Now, we know that in the town of Lake Placid, the immediate lake there is called Mirror Lake. Mm-hmm. And Lake Placid itself is right outside of the town. But you're looking down on Lake Placid and there was a little bit of a light cloud cover that day. Yeah. And we were looking down at the clouds. Mm-hmm. So it was tremendously beautiful. And
it was neat because we're looking down at clouds, but it was still clear enough that you could see everything. So that really was stunning for the boys because it gave them perspective. They realized how high they were because the mountains were cut in half by a cloud.
And the clouds were moving rapidly mm-hmm. across the landscape, which
was
beautiful.
It was a fun experience.
Now, Stephanie said this very quickly. You really should pull over on the way mm-hmm. up because each view is different and each view is beautiful and a great mm-hmm. photo opportunity. And then on the way down, I think it's not Mount Washington like, oh my God, I got to pull over and let the brakes rest. But I think you kind of do because I went for a long stretch and then finally I was like, you know what? Let me give the brakes a rest. And we pulled over and I rolled the window down and they smelled.
The boys were like, what's that smell? I was like, that's daddy's brakes on fire.
It's deceptive. It's not as steep and dangerous as like Mount Washington. But it's a long way down, and we do recommend just being safe and pulling over a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But don't miss that. It was awesome up there.
Now, during the summer, there are even more things that are included in that pass. During the off-season, you really need to look at the schedule they give you to see what is available and what is open. There's different bobsledding things in the summer.
You can drive the bobsled.
Right, and that was not open when we were there. You get a 20.
And you would have done that.
Absolutely.
And I hope that I would have.
You get a 20% off. Like, there's a lot of activities like that you get 20% off of if you have the Olympic pass. So I think for $35, if you're going in the summer season or the shoulder seasons, it's worth it.
And
if
you go in the winter, maybe not. Several days worth of activities. I mean, it gives you 4 days worth mm-hmm. of activities. So mm-hmm. I think that it's universally kind of agreed upon by everybody. Like, oh, it's a great bargain to get the Olympic pass. Now, we spent some time in downtown Lake Placid. And I loved downtown mm-hmm. Lake Placid. I mean, it was gorgeous. Mirror Lake is beautiful.
I'm thinking if we were there at a more crowded time, maybe we wouldn't have felt so, you know,
good
like,
point.
Oh, this was so enjoyable. It was very quiet when we were there, and that was nice. And we were really able to sort of, I think, take in the local flavor a little bit more.
And also, it did rain for about a day and a half, and Lake Placid was a great place to go during the rain because mm-hmm. we ended up
at the
Lake Placid mm-hmm. Library, which, nerdy, fine, I'll take that. We've developed this habit of going to local libraries on rainy days.
They're nice downtown libraries.
Yeah, like in St. Johnsbury.
Right.
In Vermont. This library was the prettiest library I've ever been in.
Oh, my gosh. If I lived in Lake Placid, I would be at this library all the time. And the boys loved it. We settled
in. The children's room was gorgeous with a view of Mirror Lake.
Well, that's the back of the library, around the entire back of the library, was wall-to-wall windows. And they had these wonderful little seating nooks everywhere in that library. You could be anywhere and have this gorgeous view of Mirror Lake and be sitting in a cozy chair. And then on top of that, you could go out into the back and there's like a little garden there and a little...
down to the water.
The lawn led right down to the water and there were
two Adirondack chairs. So you could sit down there and read. If I lived in the Lake Placid region, I'd be unemployed and I'd spend a lot of time at the library.
So the second day that we went there, we walked in and the children's library and Mrs. Armstrong came walking right up. The minute we walked in, she was like, hi. She introduced herself. She had a couple books in her hand. She goes, these books just came in. Would you be interested in reading them? And Max and Theo just like, oh, of course. And they took them out of her hand. We went to sit on the beanbags to read them. She was so personable. I was like, why isn't she our child librarian? Like, she was so adorable and wonderful.
Why don't we have a library like that?
And then while we were there, all these kids came in from after school and were like, there was a therapy
doing their homework.
It was almost like they were rubbing it in our face. place. Like you.
Yeah, but a great travel tip, if you're at a campground in sort of a major area or a major mm-hmm. region where there's a downtown nearby, there might be an awesome children's yeah. reading room.
We've been to quite a few of them in our travels. Provincetown in yeah. Cape Cod was another highlight of a library
experience. Yeah. We should do a post that combines all of them from the different locations. And the kids can't beg and whine to buy anything because there's nothing for sale.
Because they get it. Oh, we can't take anything. Yeah.
Now, we had two really good meals in Lake Placid. We had pizza at Bazzi's Pizza, which was just sort of like a pizza joint near the museum.
The boys wanted their slice. Every once in a while when we're away, they really want a slice.
And listen, if you cut me open, like, pizza sauce would come out of like my body because I'm a Jersey boy. You're a Jersey girl. We have great pizza in our region and we're picky about pizza. Mm-hmm. And this was really good pizza.
Yeah, it was.
It had like that nice sourdough kind of crust. Very good. Recommended if you just want a casual lunch for, I guess, a step up. Mm-hmm. We went to Players Lunch or Players on another day, which is at the other side, the other end of Main Street. And why don't you tell everybody what we ate there?
So Players is a bar and grill, a sports bar, but very family friendly. And it was actually great because the boys were really into hockey while we were there because we watched the Miracle on Ice game at the museum. But then we also, of course, bought the Miracle on Ice movie by Disney.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I bought.
Yeah. and they loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were watching that, which we love to do. We love to incorporate that
little bit of learning
in it and get them hooked on it through media. It helps sometimes.
Yeah.
So there was hockey on the TV.
And gorgeous views for us to enjoy of Mirror Lake.
And it was a beautiful view of that. All glass windows along the back. Very nice service. We had gyros, actually, which were delicious.
Fresh and delicious.
I was surprised. And the boys had, one had macaroni cheese. It was homemade. Like, it wasn't, it was a high-quality bar and grill. Then upstairs from there is a small plates and wine bar, kind of a little. So it's nice because it's like you can kind of do the family thing, but then you can get a little fancier upstairs
with even better views.
Exactly, because it's upstairs, gorgeous bar, gorgeous seating, lots of a beautiful small plates menu, lots of good wines, beers on tap. Really nice place. I would recommend going there. They have a happy hour late in the afternoon. I think it runs from 3:30 to 5 or whatever. That would be the best place after you take a hike or a canoe ride over there. Go to top of the park, get small plates and a drink and look over at that view. That's the perfect
gorgeous
ending
view
to my day.
I really wanted to sample the local coffee shop, mm-hmm. which gets good reviews and also has views of the lake. Many of the restaurants and stores do. We went there twice during their posted hours when they were supposed to be open, and they were not open. And it wasn't like we showed up 5 minutes before closing.
No.
We showed up 2 hours before closing.
Yeah.
And some of the reviews online actually said that they close whenever they just want to close. And I don't remember the name of the place. I'm not doing that to be spiteful. Because we didn't get coffee there. So we ended up getting coffee at the Lake Placid Starbucks.
Well, that's what happened.
A lovely Starbucks.
Why do people think small businesses?
Oh, they don't close early at Starbucks.
No.
Okay,
yeah,
Howard Schultz would not approve. And in general, you liked the mix of shopping. It wasn't overly touristy. It wasn't overly shishy. It was like a nice blend of shops.
Sure. There was your fair share of t-shirt shops. Do not get me wrong. But then there was also more interesting shops sprinkled in, like the olive oil shop. Or there was a shop with cute little cabinet stuff. I happened to walk away with a red plaid hat that I just...
Adorable.
Didn't resist.
Great price. It was a great price.
Yeah. So, they had shops that could even get someone like me who doesn't normally get those kitschy, touristy items. It sucked me in a little bit.
Absolutely.
So.
Now, if you're looking for a great hike to do when you're staying near the Lake Placid KOA or staying in the Lake Placid mm-hmm. area, a family hike. We hiked Mount Joe, which is a really well-reviewed hike in all the hiking books. And it was awesome. We loved the hike. Mm-hmm. It was 2.6 miles round trip, a little bit steep, but up to a stunning view of the major peaks in the Adirondack Park. Now, the AMC hiking book said that this was an easy hike.
Yeah,
it was
this
not
is the
an
second
easy
hike
with
this
kids.
This is the second hike that we've taken that had an easy moniker that annoyed me. And they're both for different reasons. First of all, sometimes people identify a hike as easy if it doesn't gain elevation. And sometimes that's not true. Like the one that we did in Vermont that was identified as easy was incredibly difficult because the entire thing was rock.
You're picking away through rocks the whole way.
Yeah. So this one was easy, I guess.
It's easy in the sense
it was
that
short.
It's 2 point because it's that's short and you can get up to an amazing view. But there was rock scrambling. You know, if anyone had limited mobility, you can't do this hike.
Okay. Exactly. And I had, you know, a toddler on my back. Well, there was a section where there was a 4 foot rock wall.
Yes.
So it was one that if there was no child on my back, we could have easily, like, we gave the boys little boosts to get them up. That you had to do that to get to the summit. But we had to take Wesley off my back.
Yeah.
And we had to hand him up and then put the pack
back
on.
All that being said, Max
easy.
And Theo loved this
hike. They did. It was
they raced up this mountain and raced down this mountain because there was a lot of water. Almost like a little mini creek.
Well, it had been raining. So, yeah.
So there was runoff. It was really beautiful. But the both the short trail up and the long trail down were both gorgeous.
So we made a loop out of it. We took the short trail up, the long trail down. Mm-hmm. That meant that the short trail gained elevation more quickly.
Yes.
So the long trail back down was more gradual.
Yeah, but it's not one of those hikes where it's just like, oh, there's this amazing view and the hike is just through the woods. It was stunning the entire way up and the entire way down. It's a great family hike, particularly if you have older kids or adventurous younger kids.
I would say, though, if you have 3-year-olds, right? Like, if you're in that age group that can't be carried on their backs but aren't as
this would be a tough one.
Ambitious as our 2 6-year-olds are because they've had a lot of training. This is not the hike for you. There's lots of beautiful hikes in the area. Find one that's a little less dramatic of a climb.
Now, we did a day trip to the Wild Center, and I recommend you check them out at wildcenter.org. We'll link to it in the show notes. The Wild Center has a new attraction called the Wild Walk, which has received really international press. It's been reviewed in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, et cetera, et cetera. The Wild Walk, I had very high expectations for, and they were completely fulfilled. It was lovely and amazing.
Yeah, it was.
It's
almost
a walk
hard
above the tree line.
Yeah, it's on these huge, giant pillars, and there's all these arms that go off the main path that have these, you know, interesting things for kids to sort of play around with. There's hanging swings. There's a giant spider web that
we
could not rip them away.
Max, particularly.
Yes, we had to drag them away from it because we really want to go inside and see the exhibits, too. There was a giant nest that had a beautiful view. I mean, a
gigantic treehouse.
There was so much cabled
walking bridges.
Mm-hmm. There was so much birding along the way, identifying sounds, things like that.
And as you move further into the Wild Walk, I think it gains elevation a little bit. It's like a boardwalk above the tree line.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of ends climactically with this huge bird's nest and this sweeping view of the mountains and the forest. And you're looking down at the trees and looking down at the foliage.
I see these kinds of things and I am in awe that there are people out there that dream them up. There are people that find ways to just bring us as children and adults into the wild, right? And to do it in just this whimsical and spectacular way. And I'm just like, wow, I want to be a person like that that thinks of something like this. It was
You're a podcast co-host. No, this was spectacular. And someone or a collective, there's a vision to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a unified vision. It felt so cohesive and coherent and really beautiful. Now, I had lower expectations for the actual museum because there's like a museum dedicated to the nature of the Adirondacks.
Yes.
But it was excellent as well.
Mm-hmm. River otters were there, rescue river otters. And they did a wonderful demonstration. The boys were smitten with the otters. There was a lovely woman who did a demonstration feeding them and about their life and how they're different than sea otters. And the boys really enjoyed that. And that was another thing I had to rip them away from because Wes was like,
well, we were there for almost 4 hours
total. Yeah. And there was an art area that might have been my single most favorite.
Oh, gosh.
It's not
I didn't like anything,
everything else at the Wild Center. It's that taken alone, that room where it had this studio, really, for children to just paint and create with all these inspirational sort of things around to drive this. And it had dim lighting, and it was just peaceful and artistic and phenomenal.
And the boys just settled in and drew and painted. For,
and I dragged away from that because it was lunchtime, and we're like, we have to eat. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We hadn't eaten lunch.
We live about 6 hours away, and we got a membership.
Well,
we loved
right.
it so much, and the price was roughly equivalent.
So what happens is sometimes places like this can be pricey for one visit. So, and it is. So I think our family total to visit was in the $65 arena. So then a membership was in the $80 area. So to me, when I find a place like this where I'm just so blown away by it, I think, first of all, if I don't come back, I'm okay with giving them
some
a little extra
money. For this.
Money.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Second of all, it's tax deductible. Third of all, it gives me this little bit of an inspiration to get back there one time during the next year,
and we're going to get back there. We're going to go to the Wild Center again. We could do another 20 minutes talking about the Wild Center. It
but
was that magical. Yeah, so we'll put the link in. Check out the website.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we spent our week in Lake Placid at the Lake Placid Whiteface Mountain KOA, a really top KOA. If anyone out there is thinking, oh, it's a sponsored trip, and you're just saying it's a great campground, think again. Check their online reviews on TripAdvisor. This campground gets amazing reviews. And it was easy to see why. It was a beautiful park, deeply wooded, shaded sites, large pull-throughs and large back-ends for a private campground.
So much more rustic than I expected.
Rustic in a lovely way.
Yes. No, like really woodsy. People complain sometimes about, you know, private campgrounds or RV parks, right? You're right next to your neighbor. You don't have that. This campground was not like that. You felt like you were in the woods.
Like at a state park.
Oh, you went back to, you could hike down to the river. You could hike out to
the Au Sable River, the campground.
You could take hikes out to
the campground
cliff
borders
diving.
The Au Sable River.
Yeah. So over 100 tent sites. In our interview, they'll tell, you know, Chip and Julie.
Yeah,
tell
Chip and Julie are
going to
get into it. They did a great job really describing the campground. But
I loved it. It's my kind of campground. That was the thing is that we go to some of the bigger campgrounds with all of the bells and whistles that we really like, but they always feel a little too city-ish for me. We've talked about this in the past. I like a little bit of a cozier campground.
The takeaway for me was it was cozy and it felt like a small campground because it was so deeply wooded, but it had sections. Like the campground had different cozy sections. And then the other takeaway, I don't think we've ever been to a campground that had a nicer lodge. This had a really large lodge that was very cozy in that Adirondack style.
Oh, and it was decorated so nicely. They did
Halloween.
Such a nice job
And they serve breakfast there every morning. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons we were really interested in this interview with Chip and Julie is that the Lake Placid Whiteface Mountain KOA is now going to be open year-round, so you can camp there in the winter. There'll be cabins open, and you can bring your RV there if you have an RV that can handle it. So we'll be back in a second with a great interview with Chip and Julie Grunden, who are like two of the sweetest, nicest people on the planet, I think, and they're the general managers of the Lake Placid Whiteface Mountain KOA. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm excited to be here with Chip and Julie Grunden, the general managers of the Lake Placid Whiteface Mountain KOA. Hi, guys.
Hi. How you doing tonight?
Very good. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Having a very enjoyable stay here at the campground. Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about your history here at the campground before you were GMs?
Well, we actually started camping here with our kids back in the era of the New Kids on the Block. We brought them up for a concert at the Lake Placid Arena, which is about 10 miles south of here, and they had the pleasure of the New Kids on the Block concert back in the early 80s. And then since then, we've brought our granddaughter and our nieces and nephews all up here and camped, and we've been camping up here, again, since early 80s. And in 2009, when I retired, we were camping, and we were approached by the owners at the time of the campground if we'd be interested in work camping. And we said we'd get back to them, so we talked about it, and Not long after that, we were approached by a couple other campgrounds, and we decided that this place we were familiar with, and we'd like to give it a shot. And
what did you like about the area, or what made you want to come here and work here in a more serious way?
Yeah, the whole area, just the draw of the area. There's so much to do. Even now, we still haven't seen everything there is and done everything there is between the Lake Placid, the Wilmington area with Whiteface Mountain right here. We're only 3/4 of a mile from the ski slope, so you can just about walk to the ski slope.
Now, when Chip says that Whiteface Mountain is right here, we're actually sitting on the back deck, and we can see the peak of Whiteface Mountain.
Whiteface Mountain, right through the trees, as they're changing colors here right now, yeah, too.
Yeah, and the leaves are popping right
they
now.
They are.
Yeah, they're starting to come out.
So there's a lot of major attractions really close by, and you guys really are the true KOA holiday experience in terms of the base camp. So what else is really close by for families who want to come here and spend a weekend or spend a week and see some major attractions?
Well, there's so many different things. We have Santa's Workshop at the North Pole, which is just a few miles away, Veterans Memorial Highway, and now Whiteface during the summer, when they're skiing in the winter. Now in the summer, they have many activities. They have jumping pillows. They have slides. They have the mountain biking. We have mountain biking all through the town of Wilmington. Wilmington itself is really picked up on the mountain biking, and they have shuttles that bring you up to some of the trails. We have trails right out the back of our park that you can mountain bike, you can hike, and you can climb.
So it's a real outdoor area.
Yeah, and there's High Fall Gorge, Sable Chasm.
Oh, Sable Chasm's about 45 minutes away. Lake Champlain is only 45 minutes away, and there's boating and fishing and all there. Lake George is only an hour away.
Burlington.
And Burlington is a ferry ride across Lake Champlain, or take one of the bridges. And then you get into Vermont, and there's so much to do in Vermont. And New York, we have the Wild Center down in Tupper Lake. We have the Adirondack Museum in Blue Mountain Lake. And again, Lake George has Great Escape and all the different attractions around there.
Now, we've been here 4 or 5 days, and we feel like we're just scratching the surface. And one of the first things you said to me, Chip, when we got here was, oh, you'll be back. You know,
yeah.
don't if you don't get to everything, don't worry, you'll be back. And then about 2 days later, I realized, yeah, we'll be back.
It is. It's a good thing to return to. And actually, even when I was a kid, few years ago, we would come up and we'd stay at Fern Lake, which is just about 10 miles north of here, as a family, and we would try and enjoy all the different things. Back then it was the land of make-believe and Frontier Town. They're all gone by the wayside, but there's all the attractions now that are all family-oriented. Plus, Lake Placid has all the summer camps that the kids come up and even adults come to, with ice hockey, ice skating, there's the ski jumping camps, and then all the different activities that go on. There's a barbecue contest. It's an international barbecue contest. The horse show, the 3 weeks
that's
from
huge.
The end of June into the beginning of July.
Yeah, we still saw signs up for that.
Yes,
I think.
Yeah. And that's an international event. They have the summer ski jumping, which those people that are crazy actually slide down the ski jump on. It's like an indoor-outdoor carpeting.
Right. I think someone was doing that this morning.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Because we went up to the top today, and they said somebody was practicing in the morning.
Yeah.
So you have all the rich Olympic history in the area, too. So this is a destination for a week's vacation.
At least.
This is not a Definitely. Place to come to for the weekend and think you're going to
You can come
really
for the weekend and make a good time of it, but
right.
you're coming back.
Right. You can just come for the weekend and spend the weekend at the camp.
Absolutely.
Right.
And we went up the Veterans Highway
Veterans
today.
Veterans Memorial Highway.
I mean, these are major, major attractions. I mean, it was stunning up there.
It's really beautiful.
It's just right there.
Yeah, and what's really attractive, too, is you can either hike up the mountain once you get to the top by the castle, or when it's working, you can take a 700 feet into the mountain and then 27-story ride up an elevator to the very peak.
Right, and Stephanie and I have both been talking today about what a good price that Olympic Pass is.
The Olympic Pass is a super value.
It's a super deal. Can you tell us a little bit more about that pass?
For $35, it gives you access to almost all the Olympic venues that are in the area between Veterans Memorial Highway, the gondola up Little Whiteface, and access to Whiteface Mountain itself, the ski area. Doesn't count skiing, though. But you do have the pass to get into the Olympic Museum in Lake Placid itself, up the elevator on the ski jump, which is beautiful, and you can ride the ski lift, the chairlift up to...
We did it this morning.
Yeah,
it was awesome. It was really awesome up there.
And then Mount Von Hovenberg, it gives you access up to Mount Von Hovenberg to the bobsled and the cross-country area and all. Right now, the bobsled track is shut down because they're converting from the summer wooden ride to it's all ice, and they're going to actually start training on ice. And of course, we have a freeze warning for tonight, so they'll be packing the ice on.
I'm going to turn the heat up tonight. Now, did you say you went on the bobsled?
We did. Yes. This past winter, we opened the park up in February, and we decided we need to try that adventure so we could talk about it. And I have a very big respect for those bobsledders now. They really get beat up. That track is a beautiful track. Going 93 miles an hour. I thought when I was a kid, you know, going on a sled on ice was something, but this is wild. Well, it's an experience that you have to go through.
Going to the top of the ski jump, I've always had respect for the Olympic athletes, but you see the danger of it.
Absolutely.
Right? And with the bobsled, that's what it feels like, too, that this is an incredibly dangerous thing. So you're brave. I hope I would do it.
We had, if given the chance. One of the coaches here that was training people on the ski jump, and I said to him, I said, you know, doesn't it hurt if you land in the summertime? He says, you know what, it hurts no matter when you land, because it's not soft in the winter either.
Right. Now, I like your management philosophy there. You said, we had to try the bobsled so we could talk about it to your guests.
It's easier to explain it to someone if you've actually been it through it, and that's why we tell all the girls at the front desk also.
Right.
Go out and see this thing, so when you go to explain it to people, you know,
I appreciate that about you guys, because as I'm asking you about things to do in the area, you've done them, right?
You have to experience.
You guys do hike in the area. You do all that stuff.
And we're hoping to be able to snowmobile this year, too.
Okay, tell us more.
We do have some snowmobiles that we bought. We had snowmobiles many, many years ago, and boy, have they changed. But we're looking forward to a nice winter, and that's one of the attractions we have here now, is we have snowmobile trails that are very close in proximity to here that you can actually get onto and eventually work your way all the way to Old Forge or all the way into Canada.
That's amazing.
These trails. And not only those, we have trails for cross-country skiing, we have trails for snowshoeing, and it's just an endless activity, even in the winter. Winter camping, we've opened up our tent sites and our lean-tos, so those people that really want to do the winter thing, they're more than welcome to come up.
Let's talk winter, because you guys are officially opening for the winter this winter. You said last winter was sort of a soft opening to kind of test things out. This is an official winter camping season for you guys.
It is. It's our first real grand opening, per se, since the park 15 years ago. One of the previous owners did have it open during the winter, and then the original owners, they had it open.
So tell us more. Now, are you going to close for a period at some point in November, December? Or are you just staying straight open through the winter?
Park will be open throughout the whole winter. When we get away for a week or two, we have staff that'll be here, and they'll be maintaining everything. The roads, certain roads will be plowed so that people have access to all the lodges and access to some of the tent and the RV sites. We have RV sites that they're going to have limited service. It'll just be electric, cable, and Wi-Fi.
Okay.
But they'll be open, and it'll be right next to the lodge, adjacent to the main lodge, where we'll have the bathroom and laundry facilities open 24/7.
So for families out there, you could come here in the winter. If you're crazy, you could tent.
You absolutely.
And you said you have somebody with reservations Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Okay, that's a nice Christmas present for somebody. Okay, somebody's wife's going to be like nice and surprised there. And then you have RV sites that'll be open with electric.
Absolutely.
Okay, obviously no water or sewer at that point because it would freeze. And there are RV sites right by the main lodge. So you're literally just running right over to the steps, and you can come in here into the lodge and use the showers and the bathrooms.
Correct.
And
plus, the lodge will be open during the day and into the evening with the lounges. We have a lounge downstairs and upstairs with fireplaces, and we're going to have the ping pong table back in here for anybody that wants to get a little energetic. But after a day of skiing, they can come in, sit by the fire, read a book, or watch TV, just relax some. And we'll have special even dinner evenings where we'll have a special family-type style dinner where they can sit down and relax and have a nice warm dinner, warm up a little bit.
We do breakfast 7 days a week.
And the pancakes are good.
Yeah.
Because I tested those pancakes myself. They are very good pancakes. I think you can judge a campground by its pancakes, frankly. And you guys scored very high marks. Mm-hmm. It's worth saying, too, that your lodge is large. There's a lot of indoor room here. So someone wouldn't be cooped up in their RV if they wanted to come for a week or whatever.
Not at all.
The lodge space is very big and spacious.
And we open it up on foul weather days, even during the summer. If it's a rainy day and people want to come in and get out of the weather and get out of their RV or get out of their tent, we open it up. The kids, we usually will play movies. And then when there's certain sporting events, too, we turn all the TVs on for Super Bowl Sunday. We have the TVs on for Kentucky Derby and the different soccer tournaments and all. We have a good crowd always in.
And a nice community here. So tell us about the actual cabins and the lodges. So if there's an RV family out there that doesn't want to take the RV out in the winter but might still want the campground experience, what kind of cabins and lodging will you have available through the winter?
We have from A to Z. We have our rustic cabins, which are just, it's a basic cabin with bunks in it and electric heat. And there is electricity, and there's a fire ring and a picnic table outside if they want to have a fire at any time. All the way up to, we have our log cabins and our lodges. Our newer lodges are fully equipped with an electric fireplace. They have a gas grill outside that can be used year-round. We have, actually, the lodges will sleep up to 8 people, a master bedroom, pull-out couch in the living room, and a set of 4 bunks in the one room. They have a bathtub in the bathroom as well. And last year, 30 degrees below zero, they were cozy warm.
And I would imagine it's a competitive price point compared to renting a lodge in town or something like that.
Absolutely. Your value is, if you want, you can cook your own meals. Right. If you want to have breakfast here at the lodge, you get a breakfast here. There's a Keurig machine. There's a full kitchen. There's a microwave.
Dishes
are all inside. There's wine glasses. There's coffee cups and all the utensils that you may need to open a wine bottle or a beer bottle.
It sounds good. Do you think this is like a general trend in the camping industry to maybe have more campgrounds open in the winter? Or do you think it's more about your specific location here, being so close to the skiing, so close to Whiteface Mountain?
You know, it's both, because our location here, and I'm just looking at the sunset going over Whiteface Mountain.
It's getting all pink and pretty.
It's amazing. But, you know, the location is a big draw and a big benefit. We're a big benefit to the skiers. We could be a value, because the other thing we have is we've worked out with the local county bus service, where the bus will actually stop at the end of our entrance or even pull into our entrance at 7:30 in the morning and bring the skiers right to Whiteface Mountain
for first
snow.
Yeah.
They're actually the ones that are going to be going down on the fresh powder that's just been put on the mountain overnight.
That's excellent.
And, you know, the state has talked about opening some of their campgrounds for the winter, too. So they're following in our footsteps. They see something that we've decided to make.
Well, I said on our podcast last winter that I thought more campgrounds in the Northeast would stay open in the winter. And I got so many emails saying that I was, you know, that I was crazy. And so I was so excited to hear you guys were staying open, if only because it affirmed that I was right about that. But you are in the perfect location for that. Now, so those are your winter options. Now for summer, let's just talk specifically about the campground. This is a big campground. And when we first pulled in, it feels like a smaller campground. It feels kind of like a cozy, small campground. But then the last few days, I've been walking around, and you can just keep going and going. So how big? Give us a sense of the scope or the size of the campground.
Well, it's about 70 acres in property, if you can imagine the 70-acre area. But besides that, just the main circle is a one-mile walk, which I try and walk almost every day, too. And then you expand from that. We go all the way down from Fox Farm Road all the way to the Au-Sable River, which is our other border. And we actually have the Au-Sable River on the back of our property, where we have 2 lean-tos right down on the river. And then just one tier up, we have 2 rustic cabins that sit right on a ledge looking right over the river. And the noise, the sound of the river
is so relaxing. I walked back there, and you can hear that rushing sound. I was thinking I got to fall asleep to that.
It would be
lovely.
And, you know, from there we have our cabin circle, we call it, where our rustic cabins are all encircled there. And then as you pull in, you're pulling into our RV sites, and we have 4 rows of full hookup, pull-through, water, electric, sewer, 50-amp service. And all of our RV sites, all of our lodges now have cable TV service, and we're actually putting cable TV into all of our rustic cabins as well.
Excellent.
And our Wi-Fi, too. We have Wi-Fi throughout the park. We do have, we're limited by our provider, but we do provide Wi-Fi service throughout the park.
Excellent. Now, you guys, it's a lovely campground. And if our listeners don't believe me, go check out their online reviews. I mean, you have really incredibly, almost universally high reviews on TripAdvisor and all those places. So what's the secret here to running such a large campground and having so many happy campers come through and leave you those types of reviews?
We have a super crew. We have both work campers and local people that work for us. And they're the ones that really make it click. They're the ones out there every day taking care of the campers, taking care of the equipment, taking care of the sites. And it's a standard that the owners before set, and we were carrying that on. And it's just, it is. It's a beautiful park, and the maintenance is an ongoing 24/7 process. But it's hard work, but it's good work because you really see happy campers. And that's what we like, is happy campers. And we like families that are having a good time. And it's a family, we make sure it's family-oriented and family-safe.
Well, I'm angling for a return trip next summer already. Okay, I'm working on that right now because you're right. We'll be back. I mean, we went on a great hike today, and I'm thinking, man, I want to come back and hike some of these other peaks here.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, what's nice, too, is you get back from a hike. You're tired. You want to just sit back and relax a little bit. The kids can come up to the rec center. We have our fun zone with an arcade and all. Or if you want to come up with the kids, we do need them supervised, but they can come in. You can sit by the pool and supervise them. And we have a heated pool that we open up from Memorial Day to Labor Day. And if Mother Nature's nice, we try and extend that. But right. We're under control of Mother Nature. But that is our set schedule, and we try and stretch it out from there.
All right, well, I want to encourage all of our families out there listening to come give the Lake Placid Whiteface KOA a try. Maybe even come out this winter and give it a try. Chip and Julie, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're not done yet, people. We got a little bonus segment here at the end. One last little story about the Lake Placid Whiteface Mountain KOA. Before the trip, I always read Jane and Michael Stern's Road Food, their classic book, to see what great, you know, road food there is going to be in any region. So I was reading about some of the restaurants in the Lake Placid region and the Adirondacks, and they all were hot dog joints. And Jane and Michael Stern wrote over and over again about a certain type of hot dog called the Michigan. Okay. So when I showed up at the Lake Placid KOA and I started talking to Chip, I said, hey, do you know somewhere good to get a Michigan? And his eyes lit up and he said, yes, I do know somewhere good. I'm going to make them for you. Or my wife, Julie, is going to make them for you. She makes the best Michigans. So Chip and Julie made us Michigans one night and they were awesome. I loved them. And you walked away with the recipe.
Yes. Julie handed me the recipe. So here it is, people. And I'll also do a post on this upcoming week. So it'll be on the blog. All right. So Julie uses 2 pounds of hamburger, 4 cups of ketchup, 2 chopped onions, 8 tablespoons of butter. Nobody said this was healthy. 8 tablespoons of vinegar, 8 tablespoons of brown sugar.
The brown sugar, that's like a defining feature of the Michigan.
Yeah, and 12 tablespoons of Worcestershire. Then salt and pepper to taste, okay? And then 3 tablespoons of mustard. And then she just cooks that down like you would a normal sauce. Now, what is the difference between this and a coney? Because, everybody's authentic this, authentic that. Okay, a Michigan is not from Michigan. It is called that for a variety of different reasons.
Well, someone from Michigan invented it in the Adirondacks.
Well, yeah, and there's different stories about it online. So you can go and you can read your Wikipedia and get your different stories straight. So the thing is that a coney dog is more of a traditional chili sauce. It's savory. This is sweet.
This is sweet.
This has that
ketchup. That's why I loved it.
Worcestershire base. It's almost like, and somebody did comment after I explained something on Facebook to somebody, they said, it's like more like a sloppy Joe. Yes, it has more of a sloppy Joe base than it does your traditional coney dog. that people think about. So it's different, but it's oh so good. And I will post that recipe up there, and I'll post a picture of my Michigan dog that night. Yeah, an
extra special thanks to Chip and Julie for making us Michigans that night. It was lovely getting to know them. And thanks to our friends at KOA for sponsoring the trip. And thank you to all of you for listening to this show.
Yes.
If you've been to Lake Placid and loved it, drop us an email. Let us know what you loved about the region. If you're planning to go and you want any more information from us about any of the things we've talked about, please drop us an email as well. We barely scratched the surface on Lake Placid and the Adirondacks, so we'll be back, right?
All right.
And we'll be back next week with another podcast.